The Bake Off Review with 2015 contestants Sandy Doherty and Betty's Cookery School.
Yes, welcome to the Bake Off Review then. My name's Tom, and before me are two people who know far more about baking than I do. One of them is last year Bake Off contestant Sandy Doherty.
Hello.
And the other is Betty's Cookery School expert, baking expert Jenny Culver.
Hello, Tom.
Thank you so much for coming in today. I really liked last night. It was great dessert week, which, let's face it, really appeals to me in general. So some great things done on the show last night. And one of the great things about the Bake Off and doing this review is that both of you have brought a cake in today.
Yes. It wouldn't be right if we didn't.
No, I feel obliged. Not always relevant to what we, you know, when we did entremonts and mirror glazes, I made scones because I wasn't quite sure, but I feel as though I need to.
Well, these feel like real desserts here. So one of them is a roulade, like the roulades that were on the show last night. And Sandy's done a lovely looking chocolate tart here as well. So Jenny's got in her Betty's box over there a lovely roulade. So thanks so much for bringing those in. We'll talk more about those on the podcast bit of this review, which will come later on. So if you want to hear that, go to the website, strayfm.com. We are going to talk about who stayed and who went last night. So if you don't want to hear it, it might be a good time to turn your radio down for 2 minutes. But last night's dessert week, it was a hard-fought contest, wasn't it?
It was very hard. It was an interesting watch. Like you say, I think it was quite exciting more than ever. And there was some real baking going on in that tent and some real skill. It was good to see. Yeah.
So the first thing we saw last night was the roulade challenge. Now, I have never, ever made a roulade or a Swiss roll or anything. I do love a Swiss roll, though. Are they hard to make, Jenny?
They're very simple in their components, so they are the very basics of ingredients. So all it really is in terms of its structure is some sugar, some eggs and some flour. So the actual sponge itself is very, very simple.
Yeah.
But where you can come undone is all around temperature. So the thing that people always fall upon is rolling when the structure of the cake's cold. And to get a lovely even surface, the challenge is rolling when it's warm to create a memory. And when Jane said that last night, I was like, yes, it's going to be a good Swiss roll.
She did say
she
that.
She knew her stuff. And it basically means the structure of the cake is soft because the sugar hasn't set back up again.
Right.
And that's how it creates its memory. Having said that, if you took that too literally, and think, oh, right, quick roll, quick, put your filling in, it could all melt back in. So you've got to do it without any filling, unroll it, and then pop your filling in. So I think we should make you a challenge. Make you a little challenge.
I probably should.
Now,
I feel like I should.
I think Swiss roll was one of the first things I ever made growing up, actually.
Because, really?
Yes, because of
it. Did it get you into baking?
It did, because you have this quite impressive little piece of baking. And I was taught to start with jam and do it warm. Okay, your jam sometimes melts into your sponge a bit, but it is something that can stay on top. So rather before you start getting adventurous and going with cream and fruit and doing the rolling up and then unrolling when it's cold, you can do it when it's still fairly warm. So you get that...
Get used to doing it and not cracking it and all that sort of stuff.
And you get used to doing it and this feel of, oh, how impressive is this? And then you get adventurous.
We'll come back to talk more about this again in our podcast version, because I feel like we could talk Swiss rolls for ages the way this is going. On to the technical challenge, which last night was... what was it? It was...
Marjolaine.
Oh, yeah, this is why I don't remember, because I couldn't say it again, same as last week. It looked beautiful, though. It layered cake with various nuts and things on it.
Yeah, and now when I saw them making it, I thought, I've made this. And I really... And I've made it, and I've had it, and it's been known as a Japanese. So I've made it as a Japanese. So sometimes people may know it as a Jap, you know, I think Betty's do, a nice Jap and things like that, coffee or chocolate and things. So it follows a similar sort of theme.
Tough, though. A lot of elements to it. And when you don't know exactly what it looks like, it was very intricate as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very tough. I thought they all looked pretty good, really.
They did actually, didn't they? To say that they didn't, but it's like we were saying earlier on, with the technical challenge, if you do have that end visual, you're somewhere to getting it right, you know. But they did. They were all very, very near the mark. They were being very pernickety about how it must have been close for them to pull apart the piping.
Yeah.
If they had to get down to just how
and that
the
was what let
was.
Tom down, didn't it? And then really, Tom really had to have a really good showstopper Unfortunately, he didn't have a very good showstopper. So the main focus of the showstopper was mousse, some mini mousse cakes, wasn't it? And we saw some great stuff, and we'll go into lots of detail on it because we're running out of time here and Will's got songs to play. But we saw lots of different mini mousse cakes, some that weren't that mini, Selassie, and some that were...
It's all right, it's Yorkshire portion. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. I thought, actually, for him, I think Mel or Sue said that, didn't they? For him, they were mini.
For me, it's that thing of, and being there, it is the temperature in the tent.
They kept mentioning that, didn't they? It was very hot to try and make mousse and set a mousse. Yeah.
Or the temperature. And like I was doing meringue, and of course it wasn't quite dry because it was a very wet day, and the tent tends to create quite a lot of atmosphere and damp.
And unfortunately, Tom's mousse went too far the other way and really wasn't a mousse.
No, it wasn't.
So that did, of course, then mean that Tom was the one who left us. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, Andrew was star baker, which, to be honest, I couldn't believe he'd not been star baker before.
No, I know, but wasn't it nice for him?
It was. Yeah, I think you had a sense it was coming his way. And it was quite an interesting remark that Paul made, that the winner of Bread Week hadn't made it to the finals. And, I mean, obviously they kind of pay a little bit more attention to how that kind of formation happens. And, you know, they obviously start to think, well, there's a pattern here, and their expectations. It just goes to show, you know, despite how many times the series has ran, it's not formulaic, you know. Your strengths and your weaknesses, they're not one in the same in any one
person.
And,
of course, Tom was star baker last week and straight out the following week.
It just goes to show.
It just makes you wonder, you know, it's that thing of, if it was a bit different and it was a cumulative, we'd have a different thing altogether, because everybody's going to have their strength, everybody's going to have the weakness. But we are making good. We are making television.
Because he's not necessarily the worst baker out of those who were left, necessarily. No. Just had a really bad week, didn't he? So, if you're listening to this, you love your baking, you love your Great British Bake Off, you want to go to our website, strayfm.com, and listen to the rest of our chat, because we are going to talk about the cakes that we've got in front of us and go into a bit more detail about some of those challenges in just a bit. The second thing you want to do is go to our Twitter, because we're going to share a video that Betty's put on their Twitter last night, which basically tells you how to make a Swiss roll, because Jenny very kindly sent it to me on Twitter last night when I was saying, anyone going to make me a Swiss roll? So we'll share that on our Twitter, and you can check that out, and you can listen to the rest of this at strayfm.com. We will carry on then to talk about these cakes. We'll go to these, and we're going to come to your roulade. Is it a roulade or a Swiss roll? Or
it's a roulade.
It's a roulade. Okay. Is there a difference?
Yeah. So a roulade, in terms of how it's structurally how it's made, generally you find roulades that have nuts through them. I have to say, one of my favourite roulades is an orange roulade with hazelnuts, which is really quite quite sweet, but really citrusy as well. Swiss rolls tend to have a little bit more sponge ratio to filling. You tend to find the one that I've gone for today has got a plain vanilla sponge with a chocolate Decca paste. If anybody saw Andrew's piping of his orange Decca paste,
it did look good, that, didn't it?
Yeah, so I've gone for a similar effect, but with chocolate contrasting against the blonde sponge, and then a chocolate cream. And you know, it's fresh cream. You can't save it. You know, you're gonna have to eat it straight away.
What a shame!
Such a shame! Such a shame!
Strangely, we are recording this after 5 o'clock, and normally the office empties at 5 o'clock, but there's still quite a lot of people out there. I wonder if this roulade has anything to do with that. The deco paste is interesting. I thought this last night, because that amazing fleur de lis that Jane did on her showstopper looked gorgeous. Beautiful. And I'd never really heard of deco paste before, and she just made it look so easy. And Andrew did as well. They just baked it in.
Yeah, I mean, Decca paste lends itself to having a firmer structure than the cake that you're piping it into, because all it is butter and icing sugar that you cream together, and you add egg white, and the egg white stops it from travelling. So like the sponge will keep moving as it bakes, the Decca paste will keep its form. The biggest challenge is making it soft enough to pipe. So if it's too firm and you've got a whole tray to pipe, you'll get to the end and you get crammed.
Yeah.
So if it's not soft enough to pipe, then your lines might get further apart, which is obviously the thing that you're trying to avoid.
Well, I thought that Jane's little stencil she'd made herself last night just made it look
lovely,
really easy,
wasn't
she?
Yeah.
It did. It looked smashing, didn't it? Very, very,
very effective.
Very, very effective.
We were just saying before we started recording this podcast that I was describing a Twitter account that shows you pictures of things that look really great, and then what other people's attempts at look like. Mine would have been the other people's attempt. If I'd have done what Jane did last night, it would have there would have been fleur-de-lises all over the shop. But it did look great, and good for her. This is beautiful though, Jenny, I've got to say. So we'll cut into that with the correct knife after I learned last week. in a little bit. Would you say that was a tough challenge, that first challenge with the roulades last night?
Do you know, it isn't difficult. I think we're at a point now in the competition where we're taking the basic skills and we're looking for more. So elements like the decoupage is starting to show, you know, look, you know, this is what more I can do. Mm. And it is just that understanding of even like which way do you roll it, you know, pairing the right
fillings.
That
was what let Jane down, because I think Jane would have been on for Star Baker this week had she not messed up on the first one.
Well, she didn't. I think Paul had to say something.
Yeah, that's
true. He has to say something, and he said she's rolled it the wrong way.
It didn't look as impressive as the others because of that.
You don't get as many rolls, and she probably should have just played it a little bit more classically rather than gone for what she would have done at home. She said she gets more slices if she rolls it long way.
Right. So when you're a mother with a family, I can see why she does that. Yeah,
you know, you make it's like for me on the this is the one I was going to make on Bake Off last year, but I halved it because the one I was making for the Bake Off was too big, a pound of chocolate, and actually I was thinking last night, why did I do? That's where I went wrong, because I was baking to give to people to give, because that's what you do at home. So Jane made her roulade as though she was going to take it to the table at home.
Yeah, she did.
And it just sort of let her down.
But it's not, is it? It's a competition.
It's competition.
You've got to bear that in mind.
Yeah.
Any other standout for good reasons or bad reasons, people,
from
last night?
Jane, the way she attempted and her mental challenge to get all those mousses, five mousses. That was a feat of engineering, especially when you're there.
Let's talk about those showstoppers then, as we move on to the mousses. Is mousse a challenge to make? In that heat, it must have been.
Definitely.
She didn't use gelatin, did she? Oh, she did. No, she did, she used Italian meringue as well. So yes. She got quite a very...
So her and Candice with the Italian meringue?
Candice
didn't work, though, did it,
wobbled a bit, didn't she? And I think what they were saying about Candice was that she was going so much for the visual that she forgot about the content.
Yeah.
And you have to get that combination right. Jane got it all the words round on that showstopper for me. Mm. She got the content, she got the flavour, she got everything right.
And did you hear at one point Candice said, I'm putting double the amount of gelatine in. Mm. And, you know, they did comment on the texture being too set.
Yeah.
So I think her reaction was, it's really warm in here, this is going to be hard, which she was quite right
that.
In saying,
yeah.
You know. And any of the ones that, any of the mousses where they had actually made a larger tray, as it were, and then cut them up, you just thought, oh, please don't do that, because you know a bigger tray is going to take longer to set.
Yeah.
So yes, there's more time in making individuals, but actually they're going to set better. And this challenge was all about making sure things were set to the right consistency. Yes, it's all about flavour, but if you've got a puddle, that's not a mousse.
That's not good looking.
That's not a mousse.
That comment she made where she said, I've just put double what I did at home in. Mm. It was just a little throwaway comment, but it made me just go, why have you changed what you did at home?
Can I ask, does it, I think I'm right in thinking that if you put gelatin in the freezer, it changes its behaviour.
You have to be careful with it.
It sort of goes back to it being nearly a liquid.
Yeah, you do have to be careful with it. And it can be quite grainy as well, depending. I mean, I think they all use leaf gelatin. I don't think I saw anyone use powdered gelatin. But they can, like you say, that the texture can be very, very different. And yeah, I mean, I thought Jane did really well. I had my fingers crossed for her.
Yeah.
She did so much, and I thought, oh, this has got disaster written all over it. But
I have kind of worried about Jane. I thought Jane might be one of the ones who'd fall into a trap somewhere and go out early. But actually, she really pulled it out of the bag.
She's coming out of the bag. My hope for Candice is that last night I felt as though she was ever so slightly overconfident, and you've to be careful of that, no matter how much you've practiced. different place, different oven, different station.
Yeah.
All makes a different thing.
Is that what? That's probably why the Star Bakers kind of often struggle the following week, isn't it? Mm. They've just got that little bit of, oh, I was Star Baker last week, I'm not going to go this week, am I?
I think for Andrew, the Star Baker's going to be that little badge of, yes, you can do it. You know, he's like the Scarecrow on Wizard of Oz.
If Andrew
been given an
is not in the final, I will be so shocked.
I would like to see him in the final.
The others, I kind of feel like it could be any of them. Yeah. But I don't know whether if I was a betting man, I don't know if I'd put my money on him to win it just yet. But I would be very surprised if he wasn't in that final.
I'll feel more certain next week if he performs well next week. But for me, Andrew comes at it with his head and his heart, you know, and they're both in combination because he has a passion and he has a likeness and he has a history and he makes things from his past and he makes things with a newness. So he has that classic knowledge but a contemporary twist and that gets you to the final.
Yeah, absolutely. And he likes to get his engineering background in there as well, doesn't he?
He's very precise. Yeah. You see him every week with his ruler and he's very meticulous. And in the long run, that level of attention to detail and precision, you know, under pressure, that's the things that go first. Those are the elements where you think, oh, it'd be all right, that I won't weigh that. Or whatever kind of take you try and cut time and try and save. Actually, it then works against you. So I think we will see him in the final. It's all about these combinations of challenges, like you were saying with Tom, you know, last week Star Baker, this week wasn't his forte. It just depends on what the next week brings. And
sounds familiar, doesn't it, Sandy?
What's going to happen?
I don't want to take it away from Tom, and he did get Star Baker last week, but did he get Star Baker because he was the best of a not so good lot?
Well, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was a strange old week, wasn't it?
And he got it because he tackled the brief the best, and he had this flavour.
I thought it was a really telling line from Paul Hollywood last night when he said, "Would have been great idea, but not for this challenge."
Yes.
yeah.
Which is important, isn't it? You've got to follow your brief.
Yeah.
Little note for Selassie first, who I think just about clung in there this week, just because Tom had such a shocker of a week.
Yes.
Which is a shame. I like Selassie's good character,
isn't
he?
I like Selassie. He's good fun.
He's got good flavours, hasn't he?
He's got some good styles. I think he's very rehearsed in a few areas, and we'll see whether he's got the broader concept of all the sides of baking, all the elements that baking brings, whether he's got all of them.
And there is one baker we haven't even said her name yet today.
Benjamina.
Which I kind of feel like she's been doing this for a while, just going under the radar. She's not blowing us away, but she's not doing anything particularly wrong, which could well be a decent way to get yourself into the final.
Could be a tactic. I mean, she's a bit like Frances. When Frances was when she won, she was one of these that just she was all for how it looked, but she fell down on getting the flavours right because she was too busy, and she just always just sort of came in a little bit short but still in there, and then she went on to win.
Benjamina comes across as a really good baker, she always gets these compliments on the level of the quality of her bake and the taste, and they always, yesterday what were they saying with the mousses, they were like, they're not necessarily the best mousse but the taste.
She knows her flavours, and I think she's always learning. I mean, when you kind of looked at the expression on her face when Paul was talking about her first challenge of her roulade, and he said, oh, it's definitely pina colada, but it's a bit chemically, and they almost forgave her for the fact that she'd pushed it a little bit too far because she created this balance and she'd got all those components
he almost wasn't even sure he really meant it, I think, when he said that. It was almost like he was like, I've got to say something.
I remember when he was trying to say something to me, and I think I said, okay, you don't have to criticise me all the time. It's just, I do, it's my job.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm here for.
But Benjamina takes on the learning. She takes it on board. You know, she's not offended when something's pointed out to her, because she kind of gets it. She
absolutely
sort of thinks, yeah.
She kind of goes, I can see that.
And I think she used the freezer a bit with the mousses, didn't she? So I think she lost that. That's where the setting went off a bit. But I'm glad
she only used like 4 sheets of gelatin, didn't she, where the others were like piling it in.
But that'll have been a beautiful mousse, though, won't it? It won't have been one of those that you could stand on. I think some of them you could stand on.
I think that's the thing in a competition. You've got to think, I mean, Paul described it perfectly at the opening of the challenge was, you know, you want to have that softness as you kind of put your spoon through and that melting quality. And when you're in a competition, you kind of...
Give me one move.
You almost get into it's really warm today, and you do what Candice did, and you kind of push yourself into your safety blanket of it's got to stand up, it's got to look sharp and crisp, and I'll achieve this by adding gelatine. But then if you forget your eating quality, then it's all lost anyway.
You're basically, making a jelly.
Yeah.
I liked the judging last night. I did like that they tasted everything more than they did in botanical weeks. I thought they were very, very critical without actually eating a lot. You know, they had the bread wick, the fougasse. They didn't, none of them, they just commented. Last night they tasted things, and some people, like Benjamina, she got through because of the flavours, even though it wasn't the most fabulous looking.
Yeah.
So did Selassie. So they were basing it on flavours, and I like that. I like that, because sometimes Candice was looking for how it looked, like you say, it must stand up, and how it looked, and of course it just didn't pay off in the flavour side.
It was very, very complicated, that Candice bake, wasn't it, in the glasses and all that sort of stuff. So next week then, what's next week?
Tudor,
of course it is. I mean, I thought that was very, very odd, wasn't it?
Starling pie, aren't we, or something like that.
So pies and marzipan centrepieces. I'm very excited. Marzipan is like my favourite thing in the
marzipan's
world.
Marzipan's private.
What?
It's a Vic Reeves and Bob Morton.
Oh, okay. Is it? You should only have that in your own home.
That's what Vic Reeves used to say.
To be fair, it's a very private moment between me and Marzipan. So we look forward to Tudor Week next week, and we're going to go and enjoy
an
some roulade. And Sandy, your chocolate tart has a lovely shine on the top, I must say. I've been admiring it all the way through.
In the boot of my car since 6 o'clock.
You don't need to give that away, Sandy. They can't see it. So join us again next week for the Bake Off Review.
The Bake Off Review with 2015 contestants Sandy Doherty and Betty's Cookery School.